Once there were green stones under the sea.
Along California's Highway 1, just north of the Golden Gate Bridge, spectacular rock formations await. They recount events millions of years ago that created the jagged hills and striking landscape that have become the hallmark of San Francisco. Join Exploratorium geologist Eric Muller as we take a trip to Marin County to read the story in the rocks, a tale of time, plate tectonics, and chocolate. We begin by leaving the city, heading north across the bridge. Following Conzelman Road into the Golden Gate National Recreation Area, we climb a hill, passing Battery Spencer on the left. We pull into the parking lot to the right and look over the ledge at the city and the bay spread out beneath us.
You guys, thanks for coming up here and joining me up here on the Marin Headlands. We're on Conzelman Road, and we're overlooking the San Francisco Bay, and we're even above the roadway of the Golden Gate Bridge. And we're hundreds of feet above the water, and we're right next to one of the batteries that used to be used to protect the bay. So we're up here to talk about the geology of the area, and there's actually a bunch of different kinds of rocks that we're going to investigate today. And we're going to go along this road all the way out to Point Bonita, and when we finally get out there, we're going to meet a ranger, Roxy Farwell. And she's going to bring us down to the lighthouse. We're going to see some really cool rocks over there. But the rocks I have in my hand actually aren't from this part of the bridge. They're actually from over by the Golden Gate Bridge. On the other side. And actually, if you look over there, you can see a big open area of green rocks. If you guys want to hold these in your hand, you can feel that. You want to feel that one? Mm-hmm. This has a really soapy feel to it. And it's unlike any kind of rock that you usually find on the continents. This stuff over here, like I said, is on the other side. It is the foundation for the Golden Gate Bridge on the San Francisco side. And this stuff is called serpentine or serpentinite. And this stuff is actually the mantle of the ocean. It comes from below the oceanic crust, and it is the mantle inside the earth. And it's very rare to see mantle rock. But here it is. And somehow... And it's soft. Yeah, it's very soft. It's been altered quite a bit. It came up from really, really deep inside the earth, miles upon miles upon miles inside the earth. And when it came up, it got chemically altered. So this is really soft, brittle, soapy rock.
I'm sorry.
You just broke it.
It's okay. I can deal with that.
There's probably no more to be found, is there?
No, this is it. This is all there is.
Isn't this a state rock, though?
Yeah, it actually is. This is the state rock. So anyways, here we are on the Marin side of the bridge, and we have a special kind of rock over here. And before I bring you over to that rock, I want to give you a cookie.
A cookie?
Even though we broke your rock, you're still going to give him a cookie?
I'm still going to give him a cookie this time.
All right, here's cookies.
One for you? The vanilla one?
God, but I haven't had cookies in years.
One for you.
Are they all
one
chocolate?
For you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're on chocolate.
Okay. I'm going to take one. But don't eat them yet. Don't eat them.
Okay.
Jill's already eating it. We're doing an activity with it. All the rocks over here were formed underneath the ocean. And the way the series went is there's mantle rock. Above the mantle rock, there was lavas that actually came out on the ocean floor. And we're actually going to see that down the road. And then above that is this rock over here. This is called chert. But I'll talk about the chert a little bit more after we do our Oreo cookie experiment. And then with the chert, the next stop we're going to see is, I'm not going to tell you what that rock is because we're going to go investigate it when we get there. But this is what I want you to do. I want you to open up your Oreo, and one side will hopefully have more frosting than the other side. And what we're going to do is we're going to subduct our Oreo cookie. So when subduction happens, the oceanic crust dives underneath the continental crust, and as it goes underneath, it actually scrapes along the bottom of the continental crust. So this is what I want you guys to do. Your head's going to be the continental crust, and the cookie is going to be the oceanic crust, and the top of your teeth is going to be the continent scraping the very top layer of the oceanic crust. So what you're going to do is you're going to put it in your mouth, and you're going to scrape your Oreo. And you're gonna put the frosting on your teeth as you scrape it down. Once you've done this, you could probably eat your cookie. So basically what we're looking at over here is we're looking at that frosting of the Oreo smashed up on your teeth. All the rocks here are basically represented in that smashed frosting. When that Oreo goes in your mouth, and if you look at some people around here, you can see a little bit of cookies stuck on their teeth too, the hard, dark part of the cookie. Mm-hmm. Well, that stuff would be the mantle. That would be the deepest part. And right across the bridge where I showed you the serpentine or the serpentinite rocks, that would be the scraped off part of the cookie. And the frosting that's all mushed up, that's just like this rock right across the road over here. Why don't we head over there? So now that we're across the road, you obviously want to be careful of the cars coming because it can be a little bit dangerous over here. But if you look at this rock over here, you can see how it's really bent and contorted, and it comes in these layers over here. And if you pick up a little piece of one, you can see they're really hard. And they don't weather as easily as a lot of the other rocks around here. And you can see that they form in these layers over here. What this stuff is are dead animals, dead little critters that actually sunk to the bottom of the ocean. And these animals actually sunk to the bottom of the ocean near the equator. But here we are, a couple hundred feet above the ocean, and we're nowhere near the equator. These animals, if you actually measure the column here, these dead little critters over here, they form a layer about 85 to 100 meters tall. And the amazing thing is that these guys fall to the bottom of the ocean at a rate of about a centimeter per 1,000 years, or maybe even longer than 1,000 years. So there's about 100 million years worth of sediment buildup of dead bodies.
Right here?
Not necessarily right here. This might not be a whole column, but you can actually match up the columns as you drive down the road and actually match up and say we have about 85 to 100 meters worth of these radiolarian that have actually floated down and settled in the ocean and hardened. And the name of this rock is called chert. Chert has a lot of silicate in it, just like quartz. And it's interesting because most of the critters in the ocean have bodies that are made out of calcium and calcite, and they die and they float to the bottom and they form a rock known as limestone. And if that rock is cooked a little bit, they form a rock called marble. But these guys over here aren't made out of the same type of skeleton. They had a skeleton that was a lot harder. And also what happened is that they formed a lot deeper in the ocean. These guys formed a minimum of 3 to 4 kilometers underneath the ocean. So this layer of oceanic crust and these dead bodies and in the continental sediments, they all were moving eastward towards the main continent, and the oceanic crust actually dove down underneath the continent, and that's called subduction. But the thing is as it was diving underneath, just like your Oreo cookie, the top of it got scraped off. And when that top gets scraped off, it was bulldozed off, and a lot of those blocks of material were actually plastered right onto the continent. It's called accreted. And when that happened, they also got contorted and they got raised up in many cases, and they got smashed on to the continent and actually made the continent grow. There's actually two reasons why scientists think that it looks like this kind of contorted frosting. One is because they think that this material was smashed up against the continent. And the other thing is they think that as this thing rode on the oceanic floor, there was hills and valley, and a lot of this material sloughed down and actually formed these ribbons of contorted material. So there's a combination. They're not really sure why this material is so contorted, but it all has to do with pressures and strains. So what we're gonna do is we're gonna head down the road to the next site. But as we drive down, I want you to notice how really messed up and folded these rocks are. And also, as we're driving, I want you to realize the reason why these rocks are here and the reason why they're all folded and messed up is because this whole area was subducted underneath the continent and they got smashed up on the land.
Heading a little further down Conzelman Road, we see lots of rocks looking like smashed frosting on our right. Coming around a curve, we can see another road going off to the right in the distance. We immediately pull into a parking lot on the left.
So, you guys, we're at the second stop. How'd you guys like the church on the way over here?
Awesome.
Aren't those cool? Yeah. What we're gonna do is we're across the street now. We're gonna walk to the other side of the road, and we're gonna look at some rocks, and why don't you tell me if you can just try to guess what kind of rock that is over there. Even if you have no experience in geology, you might be able to guess just by looking at that rock. Let's head over there. Let's be careful of the traffic, though. Wendy, you can put this in your hand and roll it around.
Kind of breaks apart.
Breaks apart. It's kind of brittle. Kind of sandy. Yeah, it's like a sandstone.
Like a sandstone? Yeah. Right on the money. Yeah, this is sandstone over here. So if you crunch a handful of this in your hand, it'll break up pretty easily. And as Blake was saying, it turns into sand because it is sand. It's just like sands you'd find on a beach or sands you'd find on the bottom of a river. This is called terrigenous sediments. It came from the continent. And the stuff we saw before, the chert, is actually when it's in the ocean and it's soft and mushy, that stuff actually is called siliceous ooze when it's down there before it hardens.
We continue our climb up Conselman Road to the top at Hawk Hill, and then drive down the steep decline on the other side. This is a great road for folks who love breathtaking views. Not such a great road for people with vertigo. After following the winding road and the signs for a couple of miles, we reach Point Bonita. Here, Ranger Roxy takes us through a tunnel, out to a lighthouse that sits on the end of a spit jutting into the ocean. We'll see some rock formations here that are admired by geologists around the world.
So we're on the Point Bonita Trail, and everything from this point on down to the lighthouse, we're going through some kind of underwater volcanic rock. It's just a premier location for geologists from around the world love to come out here, not just to look at the lighthouse, but also to look at these pillow lavas. They're just exquisite. And here we are standing, in fact, on top of a very tiny little fault, just a little thrust fault. This is not the San Andreas. The San Andreas is 2 miles off that away. And it's an older fault system. This is something from the coast uplift, the compression that formed the coast ranges, raised them above sea level. And there's dozens, hundreds of these little thrust faults all throughout the landscape. Here we got one. It's a tiny one, doesn't have a name. Make it your fault, my fault, whoever's fault. It can be Eric's fault.
Okay. It's my fault.
Yes.
It's not my fault.
It's not my fault.
I think it should be Eric's fault. It's going to go down to the tide pool area down below here, and then it's going to come up behind me up this little ravine, come right over through the Point Bonita YMCA campus, drop over into South Rodeo Beach. Tiny little thing. And let's think about what happens in a fault zone. Mm-hmm. So, okay, one of your hands is going to be our greenstone basalt over here. Other hand is gray wacky. In the middle of your two hands, the fault zone. And let's do what you do with faults. You're going to have the rocks move along the fault zone. That's where you're going to rub your hands. Do that for a while. And what's happening to your hands?
Getting hot.
Going to get warm from the friction and stuff. If you did this all day, what's going to happen to your skin?
I'd peel off all my dead skin.
It's going to wear off. It's going to crumble away. Same thing that'll happen to rocks inside the fault zone. Rocks crumble. They get crushed. They form sand. Microorganisms move in. What do you get? You're going to eventually get soil. We're going to cross a short bridge to get to the tunnel. You can see that right now. That didn't used to be there. That bridge was built after an enormous rock slide in 1874, which really prompted the Lighthouse Service to find some way to build a tunnel so they wouldn't have to go around that road. So the Lighthouse Service managed to get money put together to build this tunnel. 1876, 1877. It was completed in 1877. If you're taller than I am, watch your head.
So here we are by the lighthouse, and if you look down over the edge, way down over there, you see that big stack of rock? Well, if you look at it and you look at the pattern on it, can you see the pillow outlines on those? Those are classic pillow lavas. This basalt underneath the ocean is some of the most common rock and rock formations in the world. But the problem is that it's all covered over by ocean, so we don't see it. The rock here was formed in the middle of the ocean when the ocean actually ripped apart. Hot magma came out from underneath the ocean floor and actually hardened, but it came up like these wads of toothpaste that kind of laid on top of each other and hardened into these kind of rounded over mounds. They're a couple feet across. They're called pillow lavas. But better than talking about them, why don't we do something with chocolate and then eat it? Okay, so what I have here is a clear plastic cup, and I drilled a small hole in the bottom, and I have a plastic syringe. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to put some hard shell chocolate sauce into the syringe, and I'm going to suck it up right now. The sauce is liquid right now. It's one of those sauces where when you put it on ice cream, it hardens into a shell. So I'm sucking it up into the syringe, and I'm going to put the syringe up inside that hole at the bottom of the cup. And now what I'm going to do is I'm going to pour cold water into the cup and watch what happens. I'm going to inject the chocolate sauce up into the cold water. Watch what happens. You see it coming out like these little worms that kind of just lay right on top of each other and just start spreading across the bottom of the cup and kind of make this weird kind of elongated tube structure. It looks kind of weird, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Well, it turns out that this is actually a really good analogy for the rocks in the area. The basalt that was on the ocean came out and flowed across in these tube forms, just like this chocolate did, because as soon as the chocolate or the lava that was coming out of the ground comes out, it comes out really hot, and as soon as it hits the cold water, it freezes into these tubes. Then the tubes actually can grow out and carry the magma out, but the outside of the tubes just get hardened and get this nice hard shell over it, just like the chocolate does. This is a really special part of the world, not just for geologists, but for a person visiting. It's really beautiful out here. But geologically speaking, we are on rock that is now hundreds of feet up in the air, that once upon a time was thousands upon thousands of feet or meters down underneath the ocean floor. You have continental sediments. You have dead fossils down there of radiolarian. You have these pillow basalts, and you have parts of the mantle that have been all scraped up, and they're on land right here by the Golden Gate Bridge. So the cool thing is this rock sequence indicates a subduction zone, an active subduction zone millions and millions of years ago. These features can be found in places like the Alps and the Himalayas, but we're pretty lucky. We just have to drive across the bridge and here they are.
Once there were limestones piled up on chert, buried by sandstones, silt and clay and dirt, squeezed by subduction where heat and pressure reign, fractured and folded, they form this old terrain.
Rangers like Roxy lead visits to the Point Bonita Lighthouse from 12:30 to 3:30 p.m. on Saturdays, Sundays, and Mondays. This podcast was produced at the Exploratorium by Robin Marks, with the help of Eric Muller, Roxy Farwell, Blake Wigdahl, Anna Rochester, Modesta Thomas, and Jill Johnson. The song Greenstones was written by Mel Zucker and performed by Lisa Sanchez. Alice Kenner composed our road trip music. For more about California's geology, visit our website at www.exploratorium.edu/faultline.
Now there are greenstones in mountains by the sea.